honor, privilege that we get to meet together. Today's topic, oh, that's so cool. I hadn't seen the points that Jessie was going to make, and she always, like, it's always amazing. What makes a family is the title of today. And when I had started, when I was asked to fill in, and, you know, first of all, I always think, like, we're a sports family, so, like, all of our kids are in something. And I thought, okay, I'm the pitch hitter. Like, you got to go in, you got to, like, bring it, you know? Like, you have to go in and bring it for the Lord. And at first, you know, when I first started filling in, I was like, I'm not going to fill in. There's no way. And then it started to get more and more comfortable. And, you know, I usually say it, I'm more comfortable with the kiddos than adults, but that's changing too as the days go by because the Lord changes that in my heart. And honestly, when I started praying about it, the Lord put on my heart to talk about our family and then to make a point that this is National Adoption Month, and our family has been incredibly blessed by adoption in many ways, as we all are, really. And, you know, as I've always thought about this for years, of as incredible, beautiful, messy, a gift adoption is, it's also the same as what the Lord does. And I know someone was talking about step-parenting, and it's kind of a joke. I'll use our family. I know my husband doesn't mind. But one of our children, we had just begun dating, and one of our children came to us through foster care, and when we had only been dating for 3 weeks, I think it was, and he was calling to set up a, you know, date or whatever it was that night when I called and said, well, they called and said that I have to go pick up one of my son's two little sisters, and he said, oh, thinking that wasn't the thought he thought we were going to have that day, it was very interesting, and, you know, we talked later about that, and we have a picture now. We didn't know at the time that she would become our daughter, and that we were her mommy and daddy, and that's what God had called us to do, and there's a picture of him holding her at 5 days old, and here's this man I just met, and I remember saying to one of my, you know, mentors, I had called her, and we had prayed, and she said, what do you feel like God's telling you to do? And I said, go pick them up, and she said, can you look at your son someday and say, I can't pick him up because it's a bad time? Because it was kind of a bad time. I was single. I had two children already. And we were getting by and we were comfortable. But there was not a lot of extra time or finances. And I said, no, I can't tell him that someday. And I know that God will provide. And he did. He actually showed out, as he always does. And so when Jim and I had talked about it later on, and I had said, I can't imagine what you were thinking in that conversation. And he said, well, had you said you were pregnant, that might have been a little different. So, you know, humor is a big part of our family. And where it made me think of Joseph, though. Can you imagine Joseph here? Him and Mary are going to get married. And back then, you know, the times were so different, too. They were very young, and times were very, I mean, women would be killed for things like that, you know, and all different things. And the thought that God really had to show up and show out for him, too, because Joseph was the first stepdad, and he raised Jesus. I mean, not that we're raising Jesus by any means. We are not. But that, you know, I can only imagine that man's heart at that moment when he found out that Mary was going to have a baby, and that the Holy Spirit had made that baby. And it's just amazing to think of, like, oh my goodness, look at Lord, what you can do in anyone, you know. So what makes a family? What makes a family to anybody? Our family, I think, is particularly special just because I love to call it our blessed, blended, and stirred, and fried family. If anybody's ever been to Waffle House, you know that, you know, there's like smothered, covered, blended, stirred, fried. Like, you can get the works on an omelet at, you know, that restaurant. And so it's like we're a little bit of everything, and that's what makes it beautiful, and that's what makes the Lord shine in the faces of not only our marriage, but of all of our children. And I've always said this. I got this as a gift years ago, a piece of paper that had said, living the minivan dream. And I only had one child at the time. I had one child for 12 years, and you know, I had always wanted more children, and at the time, I didn't know how it would happen because my life was not going in a direction that I thought that that would happen, and I had to be okay with just that it was going to be me and her, and we were going to, you know, be happy and live our life, and, you know, God had other plans. But so I have a treat for you. You get pictures of our kiddos, because when, honestly, when God first put it on my heart of I want you to talk about family. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not talking about our family. I'm not talking about anything. And so, you know, I was just praying for somebody else and talking to them about it. Because really the first thought was, I'm going to go in here and hide, and I'm not talking about our family. Because honestly, I was like, no, that's not happening. I'm not doing that. And I was telling someone else, did the enemy tell you that yesterday? And she said, no. I said, then rise up, because God's about to do something amazing. And if you were here when I talked about it months ago, rise up. Be who God called you to be and share his message. And so there is power when I talk about that of, you know, all of our families are beautiful. And the point I'm making with our family is that it can be beautiful in so many ways, but it all relates to each other. We can all relate to each other no matter how your family is made. So I won't hide in the closet today. I'm sure there's enough people here that would pull me out, and that, you know, there's beauty from so much. And yeah, so I will start with this. Let's see. There's the first ones will be myself and our oldest. Oh, that's Jim. Yeah, sorry. No, that's Jim. Jim and I, this is our wedding day. Started, let's see, how many years have we been married? 3 years. We've been married 3 years. And we've been dating for five. Or we had been, you know, together for 5 years. I guess we still kind of are dating. It depends on how you look at it. So, you know, we both had come from lives that... we are just learning day by day, and that leads to good things, hard things, all different kinds of things. And it's just amazing to see what God can do in all of our lives. And just recently, you know, I had come from lots of faith. I'd already been to Bible college and all this stuff, and Jen had come from some. And so when we blended and we were trying to find a good fit for all of us, and we kind of shopped around for a while, and it was incredibly hard because we were all at different phases, and we still are. And, you know, God brought us here, but we all have our own relationships. Can anybody relate? I know my whole family is one faith. And now that I stepped out into a non-denominational or not traditional faith, I kind of got, like, looked at funny. Like, you're not Lutheran anymore? What are you talking about? Even ignored it sometimes. I mean, but I think about it, out of my parents' family, my dad's family has, I think, five kids. My grandparents were devout. They had helped get their church started. All of their children still go to church and have faith in some sort of way. They're not all one denomination, but... And then now all of the great-grandchildren or the grandchildren all have faith of some sort. And now the great-grandchildren all have faith of some sort. Kind of a beautiful legacy when you think about it, right? But some of us come from families where they have no faith in their family. And can you imagine how hard that is? I know I have personal friends that have prayed for their families that had no faith, and sometimes that gets answered and sometimes it doesn't. You'll hear Pastor Mary, when you hear her talk about a lot, and this has meant a lot to me where I've known her for years, of Jesus is a gentleman. He isn't going to force his will on us. He's going to open the door. The door is always open, but he's not going to throw us inside and say, here you go, you got to believe in me and your life's going to be perfect. That's never promised to us. He talks about in the Bible how life is not going to be perfect here on earth, but the life that we're going to have after is going to be amazing. And that's where I just am always trying to believe, like, think of forever and then live backwards. Like, that's the goal, right? We were just talking about that in the car the other day. The kids, the minivan confessions, right? Okay, I should start a blog about this. I keep saying it, but living the minivan dream means for me, like, a friend of ours, her mother had passed away suddenly and tragically last week, and so my boys were in the car. I was crying, and the boys were asking, and so I told them, and I'm very honest with the kids because I feel like they don't need to be lied to or sugar-coated and things like that, and I'm planning my funeral with my 2 7-year-olds in the minivan, okay? Like, we're just kind of like, I can't even make this stuff up. I mean, this is just what happened. But it was beautiful, and you know why? Because those two little boys, right off the bat, when we were talking about it, and they were asking different things about funerals and death and all this stuff, both boys, on their own accord, said, it won't matter, I'll be in heaven. And I was like, okay, Lord, okay. Like, they get it. They already know where they're going. They already know at 7 years old where they're going, and how many of us as adults have struggled. Like, have I been too bad? Have I broke every commandment that the Lord has said? I'm going down, so I might as well live it up now. I know I used to live like that, you know, years and years ago, that I thought I was too bad for God and I didn't deserve him. Where then I started reading the Bible and realized my Bible doesn't say that. I don't know about any of yours, but my Bible talks about love and redemption. And that's the story of most families. We're going to go to Titus 2, 7 to 8, if you have your Bibles with you. If not, we can look at that. Oh, those cute babies. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. And that just is so beautiful to me. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. It just gives so much comfort thinking about what he was telling the believers then of, this is the truth. We stand on the truth. I know after the last weekend, I was having a hard day, and I was just like in the car declaring war. Like, I stand on truth and righteousness and freedom, and the enemy has no power over my family. And I felt that when we were singing, too. Because on any given day, right, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our moms, our dads, anybody can have a poor moment, right? And then that can take over their entire week, and that can take over their faith and rob them of their faith and their joy and their blessings. And it's just astounding to me how what can be stolen from that. And I just always think of that, the lion comes to kill, steal, and destroy, when really, like, I want to rise up and be the lion that I know the Holy Spirit has put in me. So to start us out, like I had said, I had Nadia very young, and that's her when she was about 10. I should do the 10-year challenge. So this little girl here with the black hoodie was the beginning of my gifted life, right? So I had her at a very tumultuous time in life. I was going to go in the Army, and I had her with my drinking buddy, and we were not a good fit. And that was very apparent very soon, but we made a gorgeous little girl. And now the 10-10 challenge is now that little girl is now 20 years old, married, and going to have a baby. And so the 10-10 challenge is, like, very powerful, but also very sad because I have to think, like, time flies, right? And like I had said before, she was an only child for 12 years, and I had been praying about having another baby, and I'd had a lot of losses and different things like that, and it didn't seem like it was going to happen. And finally, I was in the car, and I was living in Auburn at the time where I was raised and living, and God said to me very clearly, do you want to be pregnant for 9 months temporarily, or do you want to be a mother forever? And I remember thinking, like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. And then just embracing, like, that is what I want. That's what I want. I'm already a mother, and I love being a mother, but I wanted to be a mother to more. And that's what God had put on my heart. And I had already had a friend say to me, you should think about fostering kids and helping kids, or you should think about adopting. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know anything about that. But that I had had a lot of friends throughout my life. My first grade teacher adopted a child from Guatemala when I was in first grade. And I never forgot that. I got to go to her baby shower and be excited. Like, she was bringing home a baby. And, so throughout my life, adoption has always been part of people I love and cared about. And it was interesting how it can happen. Okay, let's see. 8 years goes by. I'm praying how God's going to make this happen. I remember thinking, Lord, if there's joy in the waiting, can you bring it on? Because I didn't feel a lot of joy sometimes, but then there was other times I felt great joy. And I began the steps to foster, and I met a young lady through a friend that was going to prison and going to be incarcerated. Her and I had made friends, and she wanted me to adopt her baby. And at the time, it seemed like this was the miracle, right? This was the miracle. And so I was with her when she was going to the doctor, and I was with her when she was in labor and had the baby, and they played the music when she was born at the hospital, and I was there with her at the hospital and her mother, and we were going to continue on having an open adoption and all these things. And I felt like this is the blessing. This is the blessing I had waited for 8 years. And in the state of Michigan, if children are involved in foster care, they typically want siblings to stay together. And because she had had an older sibling, I got to bring her home and love her for 6 weeks. And an aunt that had the brother changed her mind. And she was allowed to take that little girl that I had named and planned for and prayed for home. And we never saw her again. And she is now 8 years old. And I remember just thinking, I'm not going to make it. Like, I was planning, I'm pretty much planning my suicide, or at least my like 3 months depression that night, and just thinking like, Lord, this is not it. Like, how is this going to happen? And so the next morning, as I'm planning my demise or whatever it was at the time, that I'm going to get up and I'm going to make a way. And they called again and said, we have a 3-year-old little girl that doesn't have a bed anywhere in the county. Would you consider taking her? And I was appalled, right? Like, I'm a very hanging from the chandelier kind of person. And I said, do you know what I did yesterday? I am not picking up a little girl. Finally, then I you know, thought about it, prayed about it, and I said, I'll be there to go get her. And so I went and picked her up, and she missed her mommy, and she was really mad and angry. And I was mad and angry and wanted my baby. We made a great fit. And that little girl changed our hearts. Her name was Shayla, and she had a speech impediment and called me Belissa. So it was always like, Belissa this and Belissa that. And so her favorite song, we listened to it on the way here, and it was amazing that my oldest thought about it, because her favorite song was God's Not Dead. And she's 3 years old, and she would sing every word to that song. And she even like had me get her the CD. That's what she wanted for Christmas. And she had said, I used to be really mad at Jesus, but I'm not anymore. Like, it was just like, 3 years old, the heart of a child, right? I wear that shirt sometimes. You guys will see me wearing it for kids, men, of childlike faith, where the childlike faith is what I strive for every day. So 7 weeks later, that little girl helped restore the hearts every day. And this cute little potato-looking baby, the first one next to Nadia and I, was born. And I remember being terrified. I was working at a crisis pregnancy center, and I had all girl stuff that I'd given away. And the director said, well, we need to go find boy stuff. And so we collected boy stuff, and I went and picked him up that night, 7 weeks after Jelena was gone. And I remember almost being afraid of him. And how many of us feel that way when we're almost afraid of people in our families, in our church families? I know I have felt that way many times, because I used to very much feel like I was always afraid of people and how they were going to hurt me. And I have lived a lot of my adult life that way, until God has really, truly transformed that part also and said, I told you not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm in charge. And that gives me so much comfort. So that was interesting, where it was just, you know, day by day and what's going to happen next. And it came to the point where he was supposed to go with his biological father when he was about 6 months old. And I remember feeling, okay, Lord, okay, you've got a plan. You've got a plan. And grieving that, and still grieving the loss of the first baby and not knowing what the plan would be. And how I had saw this last night when I was praying more about it, and it talks about grief and how even during happy or joyful moments, the pain and sadness is always there, a permanent undercurrent, a pulse of pain. If anybody's had grief, I know at least 4 people in this church right now have had grief, right? That it's always that gnawing that goes on, and that prayer and time does help, but it doesn't take it all away, does it? And that we have to learn to find joy in the Lord. And that is the only thing that helps. And so fast forward a few years. Now my life has definitely changed by then. I was divorced out of an unhealthy marriage and single, like I had said, with 2 children. And they called and asked about the 2 siblings. I had just met Jim. And the little sister happened to be 5 days old at the hospital. And I went and picked her up. And I remember thinking, oh, I've been here with your brother. And just so enamored. And so the second potato-looking baby, so the first one, we called him Tater. He is now Levi. And the little one, she was a peanut. She still is a peanut. Many of you will see her. And she's just a joy and probably the wildest child we have out of. We have 7 altogether. And she's that kind of kid that people always joke that if she had been the first, she'd have been the last. Or it's like, she's wild. She has no fear. She's not wild in a bad way. She's just, she has no fear. And she knows who she is, and she knows what she wants to do. And she's probably given me more mini strokes in the last years than any. We've, over the years, have fostered 20 children, and more so than any of the kiddos. But I tell you what, she is the most, like, amazing little kid. So it's very cool. And that's, she's a little bigger and had some hair. I felt like I owed her a due diligence to give her a picture of some hair. So yeah, baby Charlie, we call her Charlotte, and or her name is Charlotte, and we call her Charlie. And you know, that was us, me and my family, and it quickly became us, and we didn't know if Jim and I would make a way, and God made a way. And we always talk about too, like when we fellowship when I fellowship with different women and stuff, and oh, God made a way in spite of anything. There were so many things that happened between when we met and getting married that most people would have ran from each other. And instead, somehow, some way, I know now that it was the Holy Spirit, we ran towards each other instead of away from each other. We had had great loss right before our wedding. I mean, just all kinds of things. And how God always made a way. And he still does today. Let's see. There's everybody. So this is how many years ago? I think 4 years ago. They're all much bigger. They look like little tiny babies here because they were, and now they are not. They're all gigantic. So, and Jim and I were probably about 50 pounds heavier, so we have gotten healthier too over the years. Like I said, Nadia is now 20, married, and going to have a baby. Ethan is now taller than me, almost as tall as Jim. Hannah is as tall as me. Levi is, let's see, Levi, how do I describe Levi? He was the potato baby, right? Tater. He says, Mama, you can't call me that anymore. He's too cool for that. He's the kid that, he's very sensitive, and he's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he's also very sensitive to people around him, but he's also Mr. Cool. He wants to have his hair done all the time. He has to be very particular on what he wears. Like, he's got it going on. Like, he has to be a sharp dresser and all, everything has to match and all this. And Charlie is now 5. And yesterday happened to be, it was kind of cool that today ended up, I was filling in today, and yesterday was National Adoption Day, and it was also Charlie's anniversary of 4 years ago. That was her forever day. A lot of people call it Gotcha Day, and I just never felt like it fit for our family, so we always call it Forever Day. Let me tell you, she lived it up yesterday. She went to the Santa parade, went and saw Frozen, and they always get to pick out their dessert. And so she picked pumpkin pie was her dessert for her special anniversary day with ice cream. And her daddy happened to pick out a kitten yesterday and bring it home yesterday too. So that was pretty cool. We've never had a kitten in our family, so the first kitten. But that was pretty interesting. So yeah, time changes. And, you know, I think back to that and I thought, we were so naive. Because really, you know, when you start a blended family or any family, right? When you first get married and you think, oh, love is going to change everything. And then you realize love does change everything, but it also makes everything different. And every day, everyone has different personalities and we all have different quirks and perks and different ways we come. And we all know adoption or blended families or whatever it may be comes from grief. And we come from parts of us that sometimes that's never healed, and sometimes it takes a long time to heal. That's why a lot of people talk about blended families are like a crock pot. You can't Instapot it, right? I am the biggest fan of Instapot, right? I can cook frozen meat in like 20 minutes, okay, y'all? If you don't have an Instapot, gotta look into Instapot. So you can't Instapot a family. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter if you're a couple. It doesn't matter if you're a church family. It doesn't matter. We have to be a crock pot kind of family, and that takes time. But it makes it wonderful. If you've ever had a, you know, an 8-hour roast, I mean, that's like, makes me hungry right now. let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:58. We'll talk about them in a minute. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever, ever useless. Oh, I love that. I love every verse. Don't get me wrong. Like, I just can't. I know some people say, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. But we were talking about Titus, and it had got me thinking about know your place, but demand respect. And I don't mean it in a brash way, demand respect. Just plant your feet and have a firm foundation and know your place. We all have a place here in this world and in our families. In this congregation, we have a place. In this Dream Center, in this community. I know this is a hurting community. I was from here for a long time, and I just said to somebody recently, I find it funny that God keeps bringing me back here. Bay City almost killed me, and Bay City also brought me my life again. And so where it's like, look at what God can do. And then in the 1 Corinthians, I was thinking about how even when being a family member is a thankless job at times, God always sees us, right? I've been in churches before. I used to think, I just want to be in a big mega church. Nobody sees me. I don't get asked to do anything. I can be invisible in this church. They might have an awesome band, and then I know no one. Let me tell you, it's a very lonely place to be, and I didn't grow. There was great worship. There was an awesome band, and I felt the Lord in the music. For years, I was in churches like that because, you know, in my 20s, I was born again. I had gotten baptized. The Lord was working, but I kept looking for what I wanted and needed, and I didn't understand that it was a personal relationship. It wasn't to hide, and it wasn't to be quiet, because I've been faulting in that for years. I always felt like I needed to be more careful and I shouldn't share my faith because I didn't want to bother anybody. And I didn't want to be seen as a Bible thumper. And honestly, I remember when I first started dating Jim, I didn't want him to think I was weird. Weird now, he probably knows I'm weird now and he still loves me. So it's one of those things, you know, and where nothing that God does is ever going to be bad because he only does good. Where it's us that can get it messed up once in a while, right? Or I know I can mess up every day, but there are some days I don't mess up. I do okay, and I don't hurt anybody because I do like an inventory at bed when I go to bed and think, you know, I did okay today. I don't owe anybody an apology today, and if I do, I got to look at it, you know. So then, of course, I have to look at what makes the family, right, was the title, so I have to bring on the pets, okay. The pets are interesting in our house. I don't know why this is. Like, my parents have always had, like, amazing dogs. Like, they're always really good listeners and all this stuff. Me, on the other hand, I do not end up with pets like that. We got Gypsy right before we had gotten married, and she was so sweet. And we had picked her up from a woman that lived in Sterling, and she was singing to us by a song by, what was it, Rod Stewart? Something like that, I don't remember. Jim will correct me, I'm sure, after. Grateful Dead. Oh, Grateful Dead, yeah. So she reminded us of a gypsy, and so we had said, like, wouldn't that be a great name for her, Gypsy? And so she's been a gypsy, and she does have a gypsy spirit. She's a little bit anxious and never settled, and, you know, gypsies are not very settled. And then we got the brilliant idea. Jim and I had loved Great Danes. We had both had one when we were younger, and they're just, you know, the gentle giants, they're known as. And so we thought, we should get a Great Dane while we're young enough to handle it and our kids can all experience a large breed dog. Worst, best idea I've ever had of my life. Okay, she started off as, I think she was, what, 15 pounds when we brought her home. She was like this big. Great Danes grow very fast and very large. And we knew she'd get large, but I think I underestimated. She's like taking up another human space in the house all the time. And in the beginning, she was not very well trained, and so we had sent her to training. And everybody loved her, though. The kids loved her. But then we just realized, like, this is a big dog. What are we thinking? Like, everything in my life, I'm always like, I should have prayed more about that. Like, that was a bad idea. First thought wrong. The first summer, we sent her to school, and we got trained on how to be handlers. Now she's amazing. And so she has ended up being this stellar dog. And so her name is Stella. And instead of screaming, Stella, all the time, she's usually by me all the time. She's actually worse than little kids following me to the bathroom or anywhere else I go, that she wants to be by me all the time. And it's so funny because I had resigned from my position a while ago. And at first, I couldn't stand her. I thought, you're going to either be a rug or you're going to accidentally run away someday because I just couldn't stand her. And then I got thinking, like, I wanted her so bad, and what can I do? And I tell you what, the more I worked on my spirit and growing in my heart and leaning on the Lord more, I fell more in love with her. And we're together all the time, and I love her. She went somewhere in the yard the one day, and I couldn't find her, and I'm out walking down the street crying, and I thought, I'm a grown woman crying about a dog that's lost right now. Like, where is this? And I thought, how many times does Christ think that about us? Like, this is just a simple dog, right? And she is part of our family. But how many times does God think about that? Like, just come back to me. Just come back to me. I think of so many times where I was falling away, and he was there always. He had never left me. And he was always saying, I just want you. I just want you all the time. And so we have built this amazing relationship, and she ends up being a very good girl, and now Gypsy. It's funny we say Gypsy is Jim's dog and Stella is mine, but really she's everybody's, and you know, we all just love them to pieces. But so throughout, we'll go to, let's see, I think the next ones, there were some beautiful kiddos. So that picture has changed that you had seen before. We continued fostering, and we thought it initially would be for one issue, and it ended up being God brought us to another issue, and it ended up being just what we continue to do. And like I said, there's been 20 kids between Jim and I, and then before that with Nadia and I. And, you know, that it's been an amazing experience how God has brought different kids to us. And we fostered, let's see, who was first? Molly is in the middle. And you probably, when we first started here, we had her. This was at Trunk or Treating last year. And probably the most joyful, filled little girl I have ever met in my life. And I think that's what makes me be able to talk about it now without crying. And I did give permission before to cry if I needed to, but I'm feeling okay right now. But, you know, it's just amazing how, again, it's National Adoption and Foster Care Month, and where you never know what God could lead you to do. And I'm not, you know, promoting that everybody needs to go and do foster care or adopt. I'm just saying that we all, you know, can pour into the kingdom in each other in different ways. And that we can love on families that do feel called to do that. And we can love in our own families in different ways because of other families. Because adoption typically has touched every single family in some sort of way, whether it's through blended families, adoption, or any of that. And really, realistically, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So Molly was with us for about 9 months, and that probably was the beginning of a very hard time for us. That was incredibly painful. I'll give you a little history if people don't know about foster care. Biological parents are allowed to work to reunify with their children, and most do, some do not, and then they go for adoption. It's amazing and beautiful to see children go back with their biological families when they have worked so hard and proven so many things. It is absolutely beautiful. And I'm still friends. That little girl, Shayla, went home. I'm still friends with her mama 8 years later. She's an amazing mother. She's incredible. And she just needed somebody to believe in her. And I got to be it. Like, I feel privileged by that. And that was an amazing thing. And I used to tell her for years, you're the only reason I kept going, because I saw that people could get it together. And it was beautiful. And, you know, we're still kind of like sisters. And so it was harder with Molly, I think, because it did not feel in my humanness that her parents had done what they needed to do. And so was I being judgmental? Yes, because I really felt like her mama. And I mothered her for 7 months and had to give her back. And we were her family. And it was beautiful to see the different things that came out of our children and the qualities that they had and the love towards her for that. And you know, and what that can do for other people. But it also was one of the most trying times of my life. Because I've had lots of grief throughout my life. I'm still a healing, grieving person at different times. But people in the world would say, we should have never done that. Why would you ever do that? You know that the possibility of them going back, you know, away from you is great. Why would you ever do that? And I said, you know, in faith, I think I said that to Jim, the world would say that we should have never done it. But really, we had exactly what she needed at that time. And isn't it the same as what the Lord gives us? He always has exactly what we need at exactly the right time, if we depend on him, no matter what. That passes all understanding. That's what always goes through my mind. And that the grandmother has been very kind and loving and let us see her. And she still gets excited to see us all these months later. And it's been beautiful. Now she's 18 months old and running around and blowing kisses and saying bye-bye. And that's the gift, right? That's the gift that we get to see. And let's see. We knew Molly would be going home soon. We had gotten a call that there was a little boy that was in the hospital and needed care, and that there was not any homes in the entire state. And again, we started praying, because we never want to feel like martyrs. We don't feel like that's it. We just feel like if the Lord calls us to do something, we want to be honorable and do what the Lord calls us to do. And I said, well, like, is he in a bed? Like, we're very busy. Like, can he be up? And they said, he's a normal six-year-old. So I went to meet him, and then us as a family went to meet him, and we got to know him. And then we realized that he fit very well in our family, and that him and our other son are only 5 months apart. And so talk about Irish twins, that they are very close, and they either are best friends or worst enemies. And so it's been amazing to see the change that can come from that. And the miracles in his life, he definitely is an amazing survivor. And his gifts and his story, and I've asked him at one time,
do you feel like God is in your life, honey? And when we started talking, the first story I ever told him out of the Bible was about Jonah. And he laughed at me. He said, you think somebody ate a fish? Or you think the fish ate somebody? And I said, yeah. And he goes, okay. He was like, okay, crazy lady, you can keep telling me stories about this Bible stuff, but I don't know about a guy getting ate by a fish. But now you ask him, and he's one of the ones that said, it won't matter when I'm dead because I'll already be in heaven. He's only been with us for a year. Like, because he gets poured love on here, and he gets to learn about Jesus in our home, and he gets to see love through his siblings. And that's what God can do. And so I'm overwhelmed by that love. So we go on with this, and we think, you know, this is going to be it. Our family is just how it belongs. And DJ does have some medical needs. And, you know, he all of a sudden came up one day and wanted to pick his forever name. And we were like, you're six. You want to change your name? I was really freaked out by this. My husband's a lot easier going at times. He says, if he wants to, that's cool. Like, oh, my goodness. I got to talk to the psychologist. The psychologist said, it makes perfect sense. He hasn't got to have a lot of choices in life, and picking his own name gives him a choice. And I thought, isn't that amazing? He picked David Joseph. One, because his daddy's middle name is David, and that happens to be Levi's middle name. It was one of my favorite names in the Bible and the meaning. And Joseph, because of Joseph's colorful coat in the Bible, and he likes Joe. And so what a beautiful name. And at first when he had picked that and he had told me the story of, yeah, I like the story in the Bible about David, and he stabbed the giant in the heart. And I thought, I got to do a better job as a children's pastor here. Like, we got problems. So I'm like, no, that's not the story, honey. No, that's not the story. He had a slingshot and a rock. Like, we got to go back over that story. So we've talked about that story a lot again. So I thought, I epic fail as the kids' ministry because, oh my goodness, my own son has it mixed up. I didn't give Jesse this verse. It was just a verse that had come to mind this morning when I was praying, but John 10:3-5, my shepherd always leads me the right way. I am his sheep and I know his voice. And I feel like that is the way that the Lord always can show his love to us, and how I can feel part of, and our family can feel part of. And even though we're part of all different blended, stirred, and fried, that there is a certain part of every single one of us can feel that if you care for each other, that I've got your back and I'm here for you. And I would do anything to show my love. Even if it's, you know, some people have very different ways. We all have love languages, right? And I'll ask people frequently if they know me, like, what's your love language? I don't know. Okay, you better go online and take the test. Look it up. Go look up your love language. Because I tell you what, that can change the game for friendships, relationships, anything. And it's kind of fun to see it and see what matters to people. Let's see. What's the next picture? We'll go from there. Where I was going to talk about. So then along came summer vacation. And because of us sharing honestly about different things, our gym sister, she has started opening her heart and different things. And so it's been amazing to see what can happen in other people's lives. I used to tell people, don't make friends with me unless you consider foster care, because people that know me end up fostering. I don't say that anymore because people get scared about that. But it's been interesting because I was thinking about it because of Levi. One time we were at a birthday party and I was so excited, and I probably was oversharing a little bit, but I never want to tell my kids' stories because it's their life story and that's personal to them, and it's up to them if they want to share it or not. And but I was just excited because I felt like God had blessed me so much and I couldn't be quiet about it. And she said, because you had told me the things you had told me at that birthday party, I knew I was called. And now she's adopted 5 kiddos, you know. And it's just like, look what God can do. Because it was just that one person. And I feel like that's what we're called for anybody, whether it's like, I can tend to be kind of shy sometimes until I, you know, get to know people. So what I've started to do now, I go and sit by people I don't know if I'm somewhere. I try to always make sure I say hi to someone. My husband like drives up and says hi to random people. So I was like very uncomfortable about that. However, I've been trying to be intentional. I drove up to a neighbor the other day. He's riding his bike with his dog, and I stopped the car, and he was not very happy, I don't think. But I said, my kids think your dog is awesome. Just wanted to say hi and tell you we're a big fan of your dog and just happy about you, you know, like exercising. We see you exercising all the time, and I thought this like 65-year-old man probably thinks, okay, crazy lady, keep driving. But
I found out his name was Lynn and his dog's name was Bandit and he lives on the corner and he's super nice. I didn't have to be afraid anymore. There was no big deal. I don't have to think Jim's crazy. You know, I mean, it's just those things of, you know, look at what God can do. We'll go to 2 Corinthians, I want to finish talking about this. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth, Psalm 127:4. And so we had summer vacation, and Jim's sister's there, and she has two kiddos with her, and one walks in and says, I can tell you're a hugger already. Oh, great. It's like, oh, great. It's going to be a long week. Because I've always been kind of afraid of teenagers. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of things that I tell. There's a couple girls that go here to Dream Center, and I told them, I met them at a season where they kind of helped that be loosed from me. And I was able to pray for them and be in a little friendship with them and a mentorship with them. And it broke that off of me. And the enemy didn't have any power anymore. And it opened my heart to not only our daughters we already have, but of everyone. And, you know, it's just amazing because it's that thing of you never want to overstep, but you also want people to know your heart. And so that's always a hard line. So here's this girl that doesn't like to hug, and we made fast friends that week, and we left there and thought, we're going to be able to love on her a lot as like aunt and uncle, you know, and it's going to be neat. And she came for the week to stay with us, and by the end of the week, the Lord kept telling me things all week, and I just knew, like, I had to talk to my husband. And I think I literally said, like, Lord, you have to change my heart. I have to go to my husband. And the next morning, I felt like waking up, like, you know the picture of Jesus laughing? Has anybody seen that? And I kind of felt that way when I woke up one morning, like, okay, Lord, here we go. So, you know, you never know what can happen. And that's where I always ask people, like, if you think of somebody, say hello to them through a text, anything. It doesn't matter how. Let people know you're thinking of them. And, you know, I say all this to say of, you never know who's meant to be in your family, whether it be biological, adoption, church family, anything. Everything goes back to we are all a family. So this little miss we started talking about wanted a forever family. And at that week, I had been asking her, you know, I know a lot of foster and adoptive families. What's on your wish list? And she's telling me, and as I'm hearing all these things, I'm hearing were everything she had wanted. And the Lord just kept putting on my heart. It was so heavy. There was a time I was like on the floor crying. And you know, the day before, the enemy hadn't been saying, you're not equipped. You're not equipped. For that day, the Lord was saying, you're not equipped. You can't do that. You don't have what it takes. And you know what happened when I prayed? I prayed and talked to my husband. And the next day, the Lord said, you are equipped. I called you. You know exactly what to do. You have exactly what you need. Your family has exactly what they need. And that you can bless another child. And so then we started the conversation and say, you know, just like we had to talk to all the kids about it. And just as if, you know, parents don't go and ask their other children before they conceive another child, hey, you want a new sibling? No, they don't do that, right? We just have to go to them and say, you know, we're praying about this and this is what we're thinking. And please be praying about it and think about what we can do. Because every person deserves a family, a forever family, just like here. At a church or anywhere else, every person deserves a family. And so we're super excited to say that we are in the process. We call it paper preggers. We are in the process of adopting that beautiful little girl that wants a forever family, and she has it now. And that has been a surprise, like, gift. And so that is super exciting. And it's also scary, right? It's scary for everybody because we're all getting to know each other and in different ways, and we all have different personalities. Sometimes you don't know what to say, and sometimes you feel like you say too much. And then really we realize, like, at the end of the day, we just need to care for each other. And our kindness matters. And that's what happens here, too. I think that's why the Dream Center is so beautiful, is because we welcome everybody and anybody, church, unchurch, whatever. And we want to love on everybody. And we want to plant Jesus in everybody's heart. And that's what makes it so beautiful. Okay, let's go, because I know the usher is, like, looking at me. 2 Corinthians 8:7. He hasn't smiled yet, so I'm still working on it. Oh, there's a smile. 8:7. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. And so I say that with so much of, you know, talking about the quote of adoption is forever, and that is what Christ thinks of us. It forever changes our life, it forever changes our family, it forever changes our world, and it forever changes our hearts. And that is for what Christ calls us to do. That, you know, in our family, it's hard work. Being blended, stirred, and fried, it's always trying to figure everything out. And then recently someone said, let it go, Mel. Sing the song from Frozen if you need to. And I realized, I gotta let it go. Everybody in our family's personal relationship is between them and Christ, not me. I'm not responsible for that. And I tell you what, that has freed me in the last couple months that I've been really meditating and being intentional about that. It's been beautiful. Okay, so let's see. This is what God can do. Recently, we're here for a Wednesday night. That picture on the side there was for a Wednesday night, and I had went up and prayed. I tell my little kids, I just want you to be here for one song, and then you can go do whatever you want. I did not know that they took that picture, and my eyes were closed. I didn't know Charlie was up there. And when one of the pastors had sent me that picture and saw Charlie worshiping, okay, see, I could get choked up, because that's what God can do. Because a little five-year-old girl can freely worship and know that Jesus is here in her heart all the time, and that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. That's what Christ left with us. And yeah, it's just amazing, because it's like, okay. I didn't get raised like that. I got raised, I think I've told you guys this before. The preacher was only a man, you know, only a man, which that's not biblical, but it can be anyone that God calls. He had a robe on. We stood, we sat. We sang hymns. We left. That was it. Not how we do it around here, right? And just that worship. And then there's everybody at a family day when we're trying to get to know each other. And it's just, look at the little one on the bottom beaming. You know, it's just cool to see, like, everybody's different personalities. And homecoming, beautiful Hannah had homecoming that day. And it was so cool. It was like our get-tos, right? I talk a lot about the get-tos. Like, I got to help her get ready. And it was just beautiful. And it was a fun time. And she goes off and has a blast with her friends. And it's like, those are our get-tos. Like, it's just a gift. I said that to a recovering friend the other day. We had ran into each other, and we'd known each other from here in Bay City, and it had been years since I'd seen him. And I said something about our get-to. Like, that's our blessing and our gift. That's what God gives us, our get-tos today. And so it was just cool. It's just, like, cool to see the special day. And, like, Ethan had gotten ready, and he had a bow tie. It was so cute. Sorry, I won't embarrass him much, because I didn't ask his permission. It's like, and he picked it out. Him and his dad picked it out. It was super cute. And so, you know, that was his first one. And it was just so special. Like, that day was so special. And just to be able to walk away and be so excited. I think I cried after we left, because it was just like, they're having so much fun, and they're getting ready to be independent adults and, like, all these things. And it's like, I get to love on them in a different way because I'm their stepmama, you know? And it's like, I'm not their mom, but I'm a mom in our home, you know? And I love them just as the same. Like, it's like, look at our family. Like, there's so many different ways that we all became together, but it's like, our love for each other is different in so many ways, but it's also so beautiful in so many ways. And the enemy, you know, tries to lie to me and tell me all these different things, and where really I have to tell myself, like, that's not what God says. Like, I think I told my husband that recently. Like, God didn't say that. I refuse to believe that, or something. I was like, okay, calm down now. Okay, we'll go to, did I already read 2 Corinthians? Yes, I did, didn't I? Okay. So the point I wanted to make with that was show grace in your family and with every person that we know, because that is what Christ shows us. And I know that's what has made me, you know, it was overwhelming this morning when all the songs that my oldest would ask was God's Not Dead to be played. And at first I didn't want to play it because I thought I would lose it again and start crying. But, you know, it just brings me to a place where I just know without a shadow of a doubt that what God has done. And this is something, this goes for families, but our greatest contributions to the kingdom of God might not be something you do, but someone you raise. And I am a kids pastor, and kids are my passion, right? And so I say that to any of you that have children here, or adult children, or children that aren't here, or children that have fallen away from the Lord, or children that know the Lord. We're all meant to be together for a reason. And I think we each find each other and know each other for a reason, and it's to pour into each other in different ways, and that we all have something to give to the kingdom and to each other and our families. And last but not least, you know, being open-hearted and seeing excitement. We got a new family member last night, right? So in true Clayfer tribe fashion, my husband gets excited all of a sudden because these cats are called Maine Coons. And, you know, we do it big around our house, right? We have a big family. We have big personalities. Like, it gets wild. So these cats are known for getting to be like 30 pounds, apparently. And so when my husband starts talking about it, my husband's very cool, cucumber, right? I did not get that trait. Only once in a while do I have that trait. I have to pray for that a lot. And my kids will tell you, like, I don't very much have it because I'm either, like, you know, hanging from the chandelier or, like, a wreck. Like, I have to pray a lot for calmness. And so her name is Agatha, but we're calling her Aggie for short. And look at, you know, I came from a place, my family were farmers, you know, and cats belong in a barn. And where God opened my heart. And when he started talking about it, I'm like, sure. Why not? And seeing my husband so excited to, you know, he's like a little boy at Christmas getting a kitty, you know, and that one of the dogs tried to eat her last night and that we're all working together to try and save her and that we really believe I gave the dog doggy downers this morning and hopefully that'll help and the naturopathic ones. Don't worry, I wasn't doping up my dog. But, you know, it's just interesting to see, like, it was fun to see all the kids loving on her yesterday. And again, it just reminds us of what Christ can do for each and every one of us, to be open-minded and open-hearted and to just show his love and mercy. So I will pray our way out of here, and then everyone, please get your children first and go to Blessing Shop. And then if you can help pick up Christmas stuff, we would greatly appreciate it. Father God, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, Abba, for sharing your message with people. And we thank you for being able to give your truth and be able to stand on that truth, and that we are all family, Lord, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ no matter how we are brought together, and that family can be a beautiful triumph showing your love and your mercy and your grace each and every moment. We just thank you, Father, and we pray for every person this week going out, and we just thank you for your mighty word. In your name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful day.